The Reedy Planning Commission special meeting this Thursday, September 6, 2018, is now in session. I'll call on Commissioner Hudson to lead us in the flag salute for this great nation.
Please stand. Ready, salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Custodio? Chair, Commissioner Custodio? Commissioner Hudson?
Here.
Chair Perez?
Here. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Commission not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the Community Development Director's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the Commission as each item is brought up for discussion. Do we have any comments from the public? If not, we will close the public comment session. Under the consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any commissioner may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the commission can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. May I have a motion to accept the consent agenda, which actually number one will be the regular meeting. That's all we're approving.
I'd recommend that we approve the minutes of the regular meeting August 2nd.
A second.
Call.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes. So this is a public meeting. We have three items, I guess, that we'll discuss. First will be the funeral chapel and consideration of conditional use permit application number 2018-5 and related to the environmental assessment 2018-13. The resolution number 2018-10, staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following action. Approve the environmental assessment on 2018-13, determining that the conditional use permit application number 2018 is exempt from CEQA pursuant to sections 15332. B, approve the conditional use permit application number 2018-5, authorizing the construction and operation of a funeral home with chapel, crematory, gathering event center, pet crematory, garage, and maintenance building, and landscape gardens with ground niches for remains located at 2200 South Reed Avenue. At this time, I'll turn it over to staff.
Thank you, Chair. Members of the Planning Commission, Ellen Moore, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. The item before you this evening, the project location is located in the southwestern sector of the city of Reedley. It is on Reed Avenue between Herber and Floral. It's kind of right in the center of that block. It is a 3-acre property, and it is directly south of the Palm Village Center, and it is west of the existing cemetery. And a few years ago, there actually was a conditional use permit approved for an expansion of the cemetery, which will be directly across the street on Reed Avenue. So that does line up with the proposed project site. You may remember this project in 2015. There was a conditional use permit for a Dobkins Funeral Chapel that was submitted and approved in 2015, related to the similar use and operations of a crematorium and chapel with an event center. But since then, the applicant has submitted a revised site plan, which is why we are back before you this evening to consider this project, because there were substantial differences from the original site plan. So to go over the the new project description. Proposed is approximately 8,000 square foot funeral home with a chapel and crematory, a 3,200 square foot gathering and event center, the landscape gardens with above ground niches for cremated remains, as well as a pet crematory at about 1,300 square feet and an 1,100 square foot garage and maintenance building. And this elevation here is the chapel and crematory building. That this would be the elevation facing Reed Avenue as you're driving down Reed Avenue, south or northbound. So this is a little hard to see, and I apologize, but this is showing the overall site plan, and the project is proposed to be in phases. So this might be a little bit better to see, but the lightly shaded building, that is the chapel building, and there is parking surrounding it, and there are two drive approaches from Reed Avenue that will provide access towards on the northern half of the property. So this is the phase one area. This is proposed to be built first. Phase two is the gathering and event center, which is in the southeast corner of the property. There will be additional parking provided in this area, as well as a loading zone, trash enclosures, and those amenities for the property. Phase three, we have the future gardens in this area. Phase four, we have the proposed pet crematory and the maintenance building in this area. There's a little extra parking and another garden center that is proposed at this time. So these are the anticipated phases. Phase one will definitely be the chapel and crematory building with parking. So the conditional use permit is showing all of this, but if there's a building permit submitted for any phase at any time that is in substantial conformance with the site plan, that they can move forward with that. So there will be a phased project. The fencing will also be phased in this area because phase one's proposed to be built first. So there will be some temporary fencing installed, but ultimately there will be a block wall on three sides of the building with some landscaping features as well. Because this property is commercial, it is also surrounded by residential zones. So that is why the block wall is required. But for now, as it's built, at full build out, we'll have block walls, but you may see some temporary fencing, a chain link, privacy chain link in the meantime. For public noticing for this project, we were required to notice surrounding property owners and publish a notice in the paper at least 10 days prior to this hearing. So staff did that on August 23rd and 24th, respectively. And up until this point, staff was not contacted by anyone regarding this project or the notice that they received. The environmental assessment 2018-13 had determined that this project is exempt from CEQA because it is an infill development project. It is a project it occurs within the city limits on a site less than 5 acres, and it is consistent with the general plan and zoning designations on the property, and there were no significant effects that were found for this as a result of this project, and it can be adequately served by city facilities. With that, staff's recommendation is to approve the environmental assessment and to approve the conditional use permit application number 2018-5 for the revised site plan of the Dopkins Funeral Chapel. We do have representatives of Dopkins here, Michael and Karen Franzen, that are here to answer any questions you may have regarding the operations of the proposed use. If there's any other questions for me, I'm happy to answer those. Thank you.
Okay, may I remind the public also, if you're going to speak, come and introduce yourselves and come up to the podium, please. We'd appreciate that. Commissioners, questions, concerns?
What's a niche?
I think it's placement of the remains. Yeah, that might be a question better answered for you guys.
Hi, Michael Franzen. Are we supposed to give our address and
please
stuff?
Please.
799 North Crawford Avenue, Dinuba. And it's my wife, Karen. A niche is a container for cremated remains that go in. At the current Reedley Cemetery, the memorial building they put up there, the back wall of that actually has niches on it. That's what there's numerous types of niches. I mean, you can get pretty creative as far as designs. They even have tubes that go in the ground with just a single head plaque on it, where it just starts listing names, where you could put a whole family, stack them 6, 7, 8 high, even on stuff like that. But ours will all be above ground, where we can be a little more creative and have unique niches, where we could have a Catholic, we could have a Buddhist, we could, nice little secluded, you could say something.
I have laryngitis, so bear with me. The idea is to have the niche garden areas, angel area or a Catholic area with a Guadalupe, maybe a Zen garden type area, maybe a reflecting ball area, just, and some gardens around, so it's a very peaceful area. One of the other things we're going to have is a wall for just memorial plaques. I've had several elderly come to me who've relocated from Mexico in particular. Their spouse passed away in Mexico and is buried there, and the family has told them, "You're coming here because we want to take care of you." Well, they have no place to put flowers and to remember the wife who passed away or the husband who passed away. The local cemetery cannot put a headstone in the ground where there is not, that person is not there. That's illegal, because in the future you're going to go, well, here's Maria Martinez's headstone. Where's her body? And she was never buried there. She's in Mexico. So they cannot allow that. I had already thought about this before I was ever started asking. People were asking, but I'd like to have a niche wall, or not a niche wall, but a memorial wall with vases or whatever, you know, however it looks, for folks to come, place their flowers, and remember their loved one. They'll have their name and dates and any epitaph they'd like to put. So, again, it's serving the community where there's a need.
I thought it was pretty unique that you have the pet crematory. I think that's just an awesome.
That's kind of a pie in the sky wish of mine. I love animals, and there is a crematory a pet crematory in Fresno, but it only serves veterinarians, and it's not really for the public. Our closest public pet crematory or pet funeral home, there's one in Bakersfield, and there's one up in Merced, I believe. That's quite a ways to drive. So it'd be nice to have something central for our small communities that, folks can take care of their other babies with.
Great. I think we exhausted all our questions.
Okay.
Any questions from the public? This is a public public hearing, so I will open up the public hearing session if there's any questions from the public. If not, I will close that public session. May I have wishes from the commission to approve?
I would move that we approve the environment. Well, we're improving both, right?
Yes.
Actually,
yes, it'll be 2018-13 and 2018-15 under resolution 2018-10.
Correct, yes.
So I would recommend that we approve resolution number 2018-10.
Second. Okay. Call.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes. Okay, we'll go on to our second item. You're more than welcome to stay and join us. If not, have a great day. Thank you so very much for coming. Item number two, consideration of change of zone application number 2018-2 and related environmental assessment number 2018-10. Through resolution 2018-11, staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following action. Recommend to the City Council approval of environmental assessment number 2018-10 for the purpose of the proposed change zone application. B, recommend to the City Council approval of change zone application number 2018-2, which is requesting authorization to reclassify the 2.62 plus acre subject to APN 368-021-27 and 368-021-63S from the light industrial ML zone district to the CC Central Community Commercial Zone district. With that, I'll turn it over to staff.
Thank you, Chairman. Rob Terry, Community Development Director with the City of Reedley. What we're looking at today is change of zone application number 2018-2 and its associated environmental assessment number 2018-10. The project location consists of two APNs, APN 368-02127 and 368-02163S. These are located on Reed Avenue immediately south of the Riverwalk Shopping Center, as indicated by the orange area up on the screen right now. That is a total size of 2.62 acres. What we're looking at is reclassification of the subject property from a zone designation of ML or light industrial to the CC, which is Central and Community Commercial Zone District. The land is currently vacant and there is proposal there for commercial activities similar to those that are being conducted at the Riverwalk currently. So as discussed, the existing zone designation is that of ML, which is manufacturing light or light industrial. The current zone designation is actually inconsistent with the Reedley Municipal Code Chapter 25 matrix based on the proposed project, and it's also inconsistent with the adopted general plan update. We'll talk about that a little bit more right now, but as you can see, it has the existing zone designation of light industrial. Its proposed zoning is consistent with the general plan 2030. Its proposed land use designation would be I wrote that wrong there. It's actually community commercial. My apologies, not central community commercial. The proposed zoning is central and community commercial. The land use, the general plan land use designation is community commercial. That proposed zoning is consistent with the Reedley Municipal Code Chapter 25 matrix, and that's based on the proposed project. Like I said, the activities that are being discussed at this time or discussed consequent to these actions here are retail activities similar to those that you'll see at the Riverwalk Shopping Center this time. So for general plan consistency, the planned land use designation is that of community commercial. When we take a look at any type of change of zone, the first thing that we do, of course, is we look at the overall guiding land use principles that are in the general plan. They really help us to determine whether or not the request being made is appropriate and whether that change is an appropriate change to be brought forth for recommendation at the Planning Commission level and ultimately delivered to the City Council for them to make their ultimate decision. So reclassification addresses 9 general plan land use element goals and policies, all of which support the appropriateness of this rezone application. I won't go through each one of those 9. They are in the staff report there, but I didn't want to have to bullet point each one of them for you, but did want to highlight that there is a good number of land use goals and policies that are found within the general plan that are consistent with this request. The zoning designation currently is that of ML or light industrial and is being proposed to go to central and community commercial or CC. That proposed zone district is consistent with the principles and the objectives of the central and community commercial general plan land use designation. And pursuant to Title 10, Chapter 22, a change of zone requires the Planning Commission to make a recommendation to the City Council for approval of any change of zone application, which is what we're hearing here tonight. So the change of zone noticing requirements were met. This is a public hearing. It was properly noticed in the Readley Exponent on August 23rd and August 24th. Notice was mailed to the surrounding property owners at that same time as well, and no comments were received prior to tonight's meeting on the items that were sent out or those that were posted in the Exponent. So in line with Section 15168C2, the city as the lead agency has determined that this change of zone application would not have any effect that was not examined in the program EIR that was associated with the general plan update process. What that means is that it was determined that no new effects could occur or no new mitigation measures would be required as a result of implementing this change of zone application, because the commercial designation, community commercial designation, is what is present right now in the general plan, and that's what the EIR actually analyzed. With that, staff's recommendation is to recommend to the City Council approval of environmental assessment number 2018-10 for the purposes of this proposed change of zone application, and to recommend to the City Council approval of change of zone application number 2018-2, which is requesting authorization to reclassify the 2.62 acre subject property, the two APNs that we previously discussed, from the ML or Light Industrial Zone District to that of CC Central and Community Commercial Zone District. That concludes staff's report. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Commissioners?
Rob, give an example of something that would be in the existing zoning designation that would be different than or a change in the proposed.
Something that could exist under light manufacturing that could not exist under retail? A very good example of that is something that would go along the lines of a packing house or some type of operation that would fall under there, of a manufacturing or sorting type that would not be allowed in the commercial but would currently be allowed in that location.
Anything else? No? Ron?
I did also just want to point out, we do have a representative here this evening if you have any questions.
If we have no further questions, I'll open the public hearing portion of it for comments or questions or whatever. And if you do have something to say, please step up to the podium, introduce yourself. If we have none, then I will close the public hearing session portion of it. And I ask a motion of accepting the resolution 2018-11, including A and B. If I could have a motion to that effect.
I make a motion we accept those, both of them.
I would second that motion.
Commissioner Barcellas?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number four, consideration change of zone application number 2018-3 and related environmental assessment 2018-4 through resolution number 2018-12. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following action. A, recommend to the City Council approval of the environmental assessment number 2018-14 for the purpose of the proposed change zone application. B, recommend to the City Council approval of change of zone application number 2018-3, which pertains to the reclassification of a 3-acre property located at 1656 South Button Willow Avenue from the NP Planned Industrial Zone District to the ML Light Industrial Zone District designation. With that, I'll turn it over to staff.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Planning Commission. Ellen Moore, Associate Planner, again, presenting the our second rezone application of the night. And what is good news for Readley is that all of these properties are kind of in different parts of the city, which is nice to see potential development occurring in all areas of the city. So this is in the southwest area of the city of Reedley. It is, the address is 1656 South Button Willow Avenue. I think there might be an extra address for this property, but it is the same APN number, and it is bounded by the streets of South Button Willow, East Olson Avenue, and East Huntsman Avenue. So we do have, this is a area with a lot of manufacturing and light industrial zone districts and uses, and we also do have the Reedley Parkway that is across on Button Willow Avenue, kind of to the south of Georgia Pacific, which is across the street from this property, across from Button Willow. And this is a 3-acre property. There is an existing building on the property now. It is it's been vacant for a while. The current zone district is planned industrial, MP, and it is proposed to be ML, light industrial. That is the proposed zone district. There is some interest in this building. There is a proposed business that intends to relocate to this property. It is a hot tub or spa manufacturing business that is wanting to locate here and potentially expand on the existing property and add additional square footage. But in order to sign a business license for that proposed business, the property has to be, or the use has to be consistent with the zoning and general plan designation. So that's why we're here this evening, because there is a slight inconsistency. The existing zoning is on the right-hand side, and then I'll point out the property right here, north of the Reedley Parkway Zone District designation. So the lighter purple color is the planned industrial zone district, and then the darker purple is the light industrial zone district. So the planned industrial areas, this area was part of the Southeast Industrial Area Specific Plan, which was a specific plan that was adopted in the 80s, and it did provide a list of uses that were allowed in the zone district and goals and policies related to it to develop this area. But that plan has since been incorporated into our 2030 general plan. So ultimately, that specific plan is kind of now dissolved. And so now any new development falls under our general plan and our current zoning ordinance. So if we look at our current zoning ordinance, the planned industrial zone district is actually more strict than other zone districts related to industrial. So right now, the proposed use or business that wants to go in there, the spa manufacturing, is actually a prohibited use at this time. So the reason the property is proposed to be rezoned is to maintain that consistency, because that use is allowed in the light manufacturing zone district. So that was mentioned, the proposed zoning is light industrial, and that it would be, that manufacturing use would be a permitted use by right as well, so there wouldn't be a conditional use permit required. And there are a lot of different, there are a lot more uses that are allowed that are essentially more manufacturing uses that are allowed in this zone district as opposed to the planned industrial. Frankly, the planned industrial district, you're just kind of required to jump through a few more hoops instead of just going with the light industrial zone district, which allows more things by right, and it's a little bit easier for things to be developed. So that is the proposed zone district. And one of the plans in the future for the city is to try to correct the rest of the planned industrial zone districts, because as you can see, there are quite a few more properties that have that zone district designation. And a lot of the property is already developed, so the uses there can operate as is. You know, there's no issues concerning that. If there's other vacant properties, then the switch would be a good idea. So that's something that the city is pursuing within the probably next year, with time and workload permitting, so we can kind of change everything to light industrial, because it's more of an appropriate zone district for that industrial area. And the change of zone is consistent with the light industrial general plan planned land use designation. So it makes even more sense to rezone it that way. So we are going through the zoning code amendment process pursuant to Chapter 22. We are the Planning Commission is recommending to City Council, if they are, if you're okay with the change of zone. And we did go through the exact same noticing requirements, publish a notice in the paper and send notice to the surrounding property owners, and we haven't received any comments about this project to date. And because this change of zone is further, we're achieving further consistency with our general plan, so this is similar to the other rezone application that there's no environmental document required for this one. With that, staff's recommendation is to recommend to the City Council approval of the environmental assessment 2018-14 and to recommend to the City Council approval of change of zone application number 2018-3. And for changes of zone, the City Council will consider them as ordinances for future reference. And then there will be a first and second reading if this project does go forward. That concludes staff's report. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Commissioners? Do we have a representative from the hot tub?
We do. We have Ron Cush is here. He is representing the property owner, the current property owner.
Ron, I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
I don't know if you could answer them, but why Reedley?
Why Reedley? That's a good question. Boy, being in my business, you know, I don't live here, but I've worked here for almost 30 years. Reedley's a great community. Okay. This guy is looking at Fowler, so I've switched him to Reedley. And that's a lot of doing because Fowler has a lot more incentives than we offer here in Reedley. So basically, you know, he needs this zone change to operate as Ellen proposed here. And they're a company that's, I think they're right outside of Victorville down in the desert area. So they're moving up here. They are, their corporate office is up in Dublin. He does about 2,000 units a year. He makes about 2,000 spas a year. He's looking at probably adding about 20 new jobs to Reedley, which is awesome. He's looking to expand the building fairly soon. He needs 25,000 square feet under roof. He's only got 12.5 there, so it would be a mimic building to the north of it, which is the open lot. So we'll be getting more taxes. We're developing a piece of property that's been sitting for vacant for years. So it's all good. It's just we don't fit in planned industrial. We fit under light industrial. So that's the reason. It's been sitting for a long time. I've had a lot of takers, but no one could fit in that zoning, to be very honest with you. And then this guy came along, and he's been the best. He's a cash buyer, so things look really good, and I think it'll be very exciting to have a non-ag company manufacturing something in Reedley. So that's kind of where we're coming from.
So they are going to do the manufacturing?
Oh, yeah.
Here.
They're moving their whole facility up here from Victorville area.
Are they doing installations as well?
They sell it to dealers. They sell it to the seven western states. I think he has, well over 100 dealers that sell his units. They're called Turbo Spas, if you look at them on the internet. I think he's got 5-6 different spas that he builds. He's looking to do a showroom in the building, but that probably would be after he gets all the manufacturing set up and gets the new building built. He definitely wants to showcase it here outside of being up in Dublin, too. The other big thing is we're closer to Dublin than Victorville. So he's been doing that drive for quite some time now. So we just kind of hit it off, And Reedley's just a great community. He just liked the feel of it. You know, I it's one of those things, you know, someone comes to town and they like what they see, and hopefully we can fit them in it. So that's the goal. And hopefully, you know, you guys go with the recommendation and we'd be off and running and get the city council to approve it. He's looking to start January 1 or right after January 1st. In fact, tomorrow he's starting moving stuff in. He's, you know, starting to prep. So he's leased it until he buys it. So he's made a commitment. He made a commitment on a sale of a piece of property, and if that doesn't sell, he's going to cash them out. So one way or the other, he's buying, assuming we get this zone rezoned to the proper rezone for him.
Will he be residing in Reedley?
No, they all live up in the Bay Area.
Bay Area?
Yeah, eventually he'd like to move down. I mean, we've talked about that. I don't know when, but... he would like to be down here. He would keep his showroom up in the Bay Area. I think he has a big focus of selling up in that region. So that's where we're coming from.
So for traffic-wise, delivery and stuff, will they be using Manning Avenue, or are they going to use coming the back way to El Monte?
Yeah, I think El Monte is going to be a route that they use from talking to them, especially going down south.
Right.
You know, it depends where they're going.
Okay.
You know, if they're going north, they'll be using Manning. So, but yeah, that's what I know.
And are there any noise that comes with the manufacturing portion of it?
Boy, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I know there you have to have a permit with the county because of the fiberglass, and he's already went through that process, as far as I know. So he knows the county's gonna approve it. You'd have to manufacture somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 plus units a year to get to where he'd have to have a special permit. So as long as he's under that, he's doing good. And he said 2,000 is about all they can do, you know, so.
And the manufacturing itself would be required to be in an enclosed building as well, so that would be a little bit more of a buffer.
Yeah.
And are you going to provide parking for your 20 associates?
Well, we have parking there. We have room to make more parking. So, no, I don't see that being an issue.
Very good. Any more questions for Mr. Fish?
You may have said it. How long has he been in business?
He bought the business, I believe, 6 or 7 years ago, but it was an existing business. I couldn't tell you how long, but it's been around a while, and it's been down there. That's why he left it there for the time being.
I believe I read that they began their operation in the early 80s.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I want to say 82 or 83.
What's the name of the company?
Turbo Spas.
Turbo Spas. And we can find that on the internet,
yep.
Right?
Yep, you can find him right on the internet.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you so very much, and good luck to you folks.
Yeah. Okay.
We're
Thank
glad
you.
To have you in Reedley.
Yeah, I am too.
Are there any more questions? From the public? If not, we'll close the public hearing. And we'll consider A and B included in Resolution 2018-12. So may I have a motion? What are your wishes?
I would move that we approve that resolution, please.
2018-12. Second?
Second, definitely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes. All right. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Ron?
Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay.
Wish
exciting
them well.
Exciting times, Ron. Huh? Exciting times.
Yep, it's exciting out there.
No wonder when you walk by our big windows, I notice you have a hop in your little step going on.
Well,
oh, gosh, I thought you were just happy.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Rod.
All right.
I do, yeah. I did have a couple items. I'm going to start with some of the bad news, unfortunately. We were notified just this past week that Commissioner Bissett is stepping down, and that's effective immediately. That's due to a new job that he has taken on. But we definitely want to thank him for his service, for the time and effort that he gave to this group. Ellen and I and everybody here at City Hall, but definitely Ellen and I, are very, very much aware of the commitment and the time that this takes. And we appreciate all of you very, very much, and want to make sure that he's extended our sincere gratitude for the time of service that he gave. I also wanted to update you guys on just a few other items. United Health Centers, they will be going through the LAFCO process very soon here into their annexation process. So they have continued to clear the amount of hurdles that they needed to. They have the correct, of course, approvals on the city side from everything that's needed to move forward. Now we're moving into the annexation phase with the Local Agency Formation Commission, and we should see that in the next month or so for that process to get started up there. Also wanted to give you guys some updates on street improvements that are happening in some more higher profile areas of the community right now. I'm sure you noticed that Reed Avenue, just in front of Reedley College, that started back up again. That project had intentionally been put on hiatus for the first few weeks of school to try to have as small of an impact as possible as school was getting back into session. They will be picking that back up again now. They'll be completing all of the sidewalk, stormwater, everything that goes along with that. The majority of the undergrounding work had already been done, but there are still some utility companies, Verizon and Frontier, thank you, Verizon and Frontier, that still need to pull some of their underground cables there. And then, of course, they'll be going in and doing the complete reconstruction of Reed Avenue itself. So you should expect to see 3 weeks to a month or so of pretty intense activity going on there. But staff's always available to answer any questions if you guys have them while that activity is taking place.
And is the pavement going to start within 3 weeks also?
Everything should be completed.
That'll be the last phase of it.
Within 3 to 4 weeks, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's going all the way from Manning Avenue and Reed all the way up to Aspen.
Oh, okay.
Yep, so. And then Manning Avenue Phase 2, right in front of St. LaSalle School, is just wrapping up right now. They were out there putting down all the slurry seal and getting all the restriping, everything finished there. So that one should be completed now. You'll still see some people, of course, out there dealing with some of the last minute items and the cleanup and everything with that. But that one should be good to go. Also wanted to let you know that we have a significant amount of interest going on and as Ellen had mentioned, with some of the change of zone activities that we have. Everything that we have going on development-wise in the city right now is happening all around town, which is a great thing to see when you're not just having, you know, development or interest happening in just one area of town, but we literally have it happening all around town, on the west, on the north, on the east, even areas in the south, even though we're bounded by the county line. So we're seeing some good activity there, and right now we're seeing annexation interest happening. Consistent, of course, and connected with development, but a lot of the annexation items, of course, have to happen first, right, as you're taking all your items through. So we just recently sent out letters to some property owners in several areas where there is annexation interest right now. We're reaching out to those property owners to see if they are interested in annexing their properties. We want to make sure that we are having very good and open communication with property owners. We want them to be aware that there is interest there, and we want to approach them and get their feedback and their feelings about it first. We want to make sure that they have answers to any frequently asked questions. We want to be very upfront about any concerns that they have. We know that there's usually a handful of questions that come from almost all property owners coming from the county into a incorporated city. Usually it comes down to, what can I do with my property now that won't be allowed once I'm in a city? So we had a really good set frequently asked questions that went out with that we think covered all the real hot topic items. Also made sure that they have good contact information from us, and that they'll be able to connect with us if they have any outstanding questions in addition to that. And it gives them the opportunity to have open dialogue with us, ahead of any type of annexation activity formally going into any type of process. So that's out on the street right now, and we will also be making contact with them face-to-face as well, so that they're also comfortable with knowing who we are and speaking to us. And then, as we had two tonight, we had two change of zone applications. I just wanted to point out that the commission should plan on seeing more type of that activity in the future, and the reason why is because that is showing general plan implementation that's happening. When we had the general plan update that was approved in 2014, there were some changes that the city had said we would rather see this type of growth here, this type of growth there, and then of course you had your adopted zoning. So you did have some items that were going to be in conflict with each other there simply because there was some change in direction as the community grew and as the feedback was received by the elected officials and by the Planning Commission and by staff. So over time, as we move forward with those projects, we're starting to deal with the consistency of bringing those items. So it's actually an implementation of the general plan when someone comes in and they're looking for something that is consistent with the general plan but may not be consistent with current zoning. So we're seeing two things there. We're seeing consistency happen with that general plan, and we're also seeing growth and development happening in the community. So those are good things. You saw two of them today, and know that you'll be seeing a little bit more of that coming up in the future as we continue to roll out implementation. But with that, that's all I had. Ellen, did you have anything you wanted to add? Okay. Any questions or anything for me?
I do have one. Go ahead, Ron. Go ahead.
You say there's a lot of pretty significant annexation requests or inquiries.
Mm-hmm.
With that would come more city services to them, right?
Correct.
Is there a significant enough that it would generate interest to do something to fund all of that, or does it fund itself as it goes?
It through development impact fees, whenever someone comes in and proposes any type of development, they are charged development impact fees, and that's exactly what those fees are intended to be for, is to make sure that those services can be expanded and continue to provide the service to the entire community. So it is a self-funded item. We have done multiple studies and fee studies and metrics to make sure that we have those items appropriate in line with the laws and regulations that oversee them. Those have been done in the years past. Reedley has also done an incredible job at having master plans for city services in place years in advance, and have not only planned for growth, but have been very proactive in placing that growth ahead of time, those services. The perfect example of that would be the wastewater treatment plant that the city put significant amounts of fund and expansion efforts into years ago. Right now, that operates close to about 50% of its maximum capacity. So the city is already lined up on that side to serve very, very well. We have very dedicated engineering and public works staff that even with the small staff that they have, just consistently make sure that those items are operating at the highest efficiency possible. So you take all those items and put them together, and Reedley is really honestly a hidden gem. When developers will come in and they will talk to us, they've been to many other communities where the costs associated with that are, you need to take care of problems that we already have in addition to paying for the things that you'd like to bring in. When they come to Reedley and they find out that, no, we've been ready for this for quite some time. So of course you have your fair share, your development impact fees that you pay, which are applicable to all communities. We have these items that are ready and waiting for you. We have the capacity and we've been planning on it. They typically are pretty close to dumbfounded because you don't get to see that a lot, and particularly in the Central Valley.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Don?
No questions.
I had an interesting, I was at the board of directors meeting the other day at Lyons, and let me ask you, does the city have a 23-acre parcel somewhere?
A 23-acre parcel?
And the reason I ask is because this one board of directors asked the rest of the board whether they would be interested in sponsoring and helping build out 23-acre park. So the only 23 acres that I could think of would be where the school zone area is, where the high school and grammar school.
Up against the railroad.
Ron, do you know anything about that? Whether they're willing to give up another 23 acres somewhere in that area?
The only discussion we had was the first 20 acres there, 20 some plus or minus, was donated to the school district. And then contiguous or adjoining to that is that, I think the 23 you're talking about, that's kind of a irregular shape that goes up against the railroad in the corner there. And the school, for the most part, that would go in there would only need 20. But it was a package deal. And there was talk, just casual talk, about what will we do with that? Maybe partnering with the city in some kind of a park or something. Mm-hmm. That was only very casual talk.
Yeah, we haven't had anything formal come to us on the community development side as of yet. But
because that would be a heck of an undertaking for the Lions to take on, because...
Oh, I think the Lions could take that.
I agree.
My answer to him, one of my comments to him, I listed all the barriers that were potential barriers that we would have to go through to get us there. But I said, why would I want to help build out a park where we can't even finish the park we have?
I think, just this is Ron Hudson speaking, if you got a bunch of partners like the school district and the city... And a service, you could have like a rotary park, like Fresno has a rotary park.
Right. No, well, I think that's it. That was his intention. And so he wanted to propose that.
It'd be neat for kids.
What's that?
It'd be neat for kids and families.
I agree. I'd like to finish the complex over there first. I want the four softball fields built. But I haven't found the $5 million yet that we need.
We're all mindful of that one, I promise you.
But I understand it's something that could be coming down the pathway, because there's going to be a grant potentially available to finish that, hopefully.
I don't know if the grant would be able to finish it, but I know that the grant that, at least the most recent one that had been being looked at, could significantly assist with it. I don't know if it would be enough to actually finish it.
Would that be a matching grant? Do you know right?
That always ends up being the question. So the each grant has its own specifications that go along with it. Very rarely in today's world do you ever see a no-match grant, especially one that will give... anything to the recreation side. There's typically a pretty good match. The state in the last couple years with several of their grants has been moving toward monetary matches and in-kind matches. So any type of staff time you give, you can count toward that. Still don't get to see as much of that on the park and recreation side as you may see on the planning and development side. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of that in the future, because the state, when they have any type of program, grant program, they want to see two things. One, they want to see a bunch of applications, so a popular program. And then two, they want to see items that are implemented very well. There's nothing that shows better implementation-wise than park space, right? It's very, very popular.
And they want partnerships.
Absolutely. So if they are realizing that on the planning and development side, the in-kind is allowing for much more application flexibility, I would not be surprised at all to see the other departments moving toward that as well.
Is that the state rec department?
Yes. Yeah.
And, of course, I know that the city's other concern is also the maintenance of that particular park, and that's why nobody on this diocese with the other group is moving forward. Now, all of a sudden, they're jumping on and saying, oh, yeah, we're going to get this and we're going to get that. But yeah. I don't see it happening unless we're ready to match, and you're going to need some type of taxation to cover the maintenance, it would be my understanding.
Unless the Lions Club does it.
Unless the Lions Club does it, yeah, but we can't do it all.
Yeah, I'll tell you, maintenance is always always one of those challenging items that for the longest time I don't think a lot of people really honestly thought about. You don't have to look any further than the condition of many of the streets and roads throughout the state of California to see that a lot of thought went into paying for placing that infrastructure, but then what about maintaining it? And not just maintaining it, but making sure that you're giving it the amount of maintenance that it needs along the way to maximize its useful life, as opposed to I'm sure you guys have seen the charts before. You know, if you can do basic maintenance, slurry seals, those type of items on roads in a, you know, 5 to 7 year period, you can make a road last 70, 80 years. If you go 12 years without any type of maintenance on something like that, all of a sudden it just completely falls off the edge. And as soon as it hits a certain point, it's you know, the cost double, triple. So it's challenging. And I think that the conditions of the roads, the rising costs among local agencies, now that seems to be the number one item that will come up in a staff meeting is, how do we pay for the maintenance?
Yeah.
Because grant dollars don't pay for maintenance.
No.
So.
And what are you doing? The thing that comes up is, what are you putting in that will cause a lot of maintenance?
Yep.
Or what are you putting in that will not cause a lot of maintenance?
Absolutely. Sustainability used to mean...
You went through that, didn't you?
Yeah. Sustainability used to mean environmental sustainability. Now it means maintenance sustainability as well, right?
Well, thinking ahead, one of the other complement businesses that we need in that corner over there, and I'm looking at one specific corner, we need to put a hotel in there.
Oh, man. So we have...
Where?
There would be Dinuba and Button Willow, mm-hmm. the west corner.
We have done several economic development studies that indicate that Reedley is an excellent location for a hotel, and that a hotel would be very, very successful here. Everything from tourist numbers to median income, I mean, you name it, everything points to this is an excellent spot. And yet every single hotel chain that we have engaged in conversations with, mm-hmm. they all want to know, how far are you from a major interstate? That's the number one question.
But you can't tell me that there aren't towns that are like ours that are not right there on the interstate who have much more presence when it comes to room availability.
Yep.
Because I'll tell you what I get at the restaurant. Everybody's staying in Dinuba.
Right.
Reedley doesn't have enough to take care of them.
Yep.
When we have things going on here and the overflow hits everywhere, they'll drive.
Yeah.
To avoid staying in a spot that, well, even Burgess is full.
Yep.
And if the other offerings aren't what they want, well, I mean, when you're talking about folks from Pasadena, they are not going to stay in our other offerings.
Right.
Not going to happen.
Right.
But I have many people that eat with me because they have in years past and said, well, someone brought me here, so we wanted to come back. Mm-hmm. That's great and all, but they aren't patronizing really as a whole because they're not here. I'd like them, of course, walk around downtown when everything opens up in the morning and our town shines and you can see different things. Well, they never see any of that.
Right. Yep.
And it's a shame that we can't figure out how to balance that mindset that we have, you know?
Because we're only one country block away from the main thoroughfare that connects us to 99 or El Monte.
Yeah, it's
so
not.
That location would be ideal. I know they'd like to be by the river, but that's not going to happen, not with Otani around.
Never say never. We can always hope.
It will eventually happen.
We can always hope, yeah.
Does that hotel and or motel in Dinuba do pretty well?
They do pretty mm-hmm. good, yeah.
They do?
Yeah.
They take the best tours buses that come and patronize us. They take all those.
I can tell you why they did have some success with getting some of the items that Reedley did not get, and unfortunately that did come down to the property owners, and the deals that they were willing to make, and in some instances even giving away land in order to get, you know, either a long term lease or something of that nature.
We're well aware of them.
Yeah.
We are
all three of them. So, unfortunately, yep. Money talks.
Yeah. We're always trying to sound that trumpet for Reedley, though. I mean, Reedley, you've heard me say it before, it is absolutely the hidden gem. I mean, it really honestly is.
Well, some of us would rather it be a shining gem instead of...
I totally agree.
Not the best kept secret, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, can we blab?
Okay, any other folks, any other business that we want to discuss or
the
concerns?
The other thing that you didn't touch on is the splash park. How's everything going with that?
You know, it's going good. They
Are we calling it a splash park? Is that right?
I believe so. I think the splash pad park. They just named it Trimble Park.
Trimble.
Gave it the official name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a good thing.
I agree. They had a little bit of an unexpected delay with the restroom facility, mm-hmm. which was a prefabricated item.
I saw that. Yeah.
And it ended up being almost 3 months later than they anticipated that it was going to be. And then they've had a little bit of trouble with some of the utility providers as well, some of the underground items. So it ended up being, I would say, about 6 weeks past the time that they thought that it was going to be. We were really hopeful that that was going to end up near opening near the end of the season, but still be able to have a little bit of time to be open. Now, of course, we're in, you know, California, in a climate where even in December, in all honesty, you could probably still go to a splash park and have it not be that uncomfortable.
And still have fun.
Right. Yeah. You know, where I grew up, they start pulling things out of the ground and getting ready for snow at Labor Day. So, but yeah, it's behind a little bit, but moving forward, thank goodness. And I'm hoping that those challenges are going to be behind everything. There was also some vandalism that happened at the Korean Monument.
So are they looking really more at December in opening versus?
They had said that they're still hoping for late October, early November. I think a lot of that really is honestly going to hinge now on the utilities.
Well, we got to tell Sarah to have a Halloween party there.
Why not? Yeah, I think so. Trick or treat.
Okay, any other business? I'm hungry. If not, this business meeting is adjourned.